All right, come on in. Good to have you with us today. Guess we are all the spring breakers that have made it back for the weekend. So good to see you. I know I was hearing different people, all kinds of fun trips this week. And we're glad to be together, kick off a new series. I'm going to invite Paul up. Paul is going to read the word today. Paul, will you introduce yourself? You guys have been coming since
January-ish.
And wife, kids, where are you from?
Sure. My name is Paul Borlay. We've been coming since January. I felt so welcomed here. Thank you guys so much. It's been fun. We're good friends of Ryder and Caroline's, and so that's how we ended up here. But I actually knew Mark from way back when, and we met, and so that's a fun reunion. We don't have any kids, and my wife is Sarah, but I am a special needs teacher, and I work over in Roswell. We live in Suwannee, and we love it here, and so thank you all so much. Let's see, I'm reading John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for reading. All right, well, we are starting a series. We're calling it our vision series. We're starting it today, and we're going to be talking about it for the next few weeks about the direction that we are going for the church. So we're kind of going to start out with vision, big picture stuff today, and then slowly trickle down into how does that get into all the details of our church. So we're looking forward to doing this. As Mark mentioned, part of this process was we started talking to people about retooling vision, direction, re-strategizing, and kind of through some friends got connected to a guy out of North Carolina, Terry Long, who he was a former pastor, but had moved into a role with the North Carolina Baptist Association, where his title is the Church Health and Revitalization Strategist. It's a great title. Just love those kinds of titles. Basically, what he does is he meets with churches to talk through what they're doing, where they want to go, and how to get there. And it was just a great time. I think we had about 13 people in those meetings. We met with Terry two or three times and a lot of phone calls to him outside of that. And it was a good time. And just the key question is, where are you going? Where do you want your church to go? And I thought, man, that's a great life lesson. It's important to know where you want to go, right? So we were kind of working through that as a church, and just kind of this time, it brought a lot of clarity to different things that we've done, things that we should do, or just kind of working all of that together. So as we go through this over the next couple weeks, there's going to be some things that you feel like, hey, that's new. There's going to be other things it's like, well, that's kind of somewhat what we've done. There's going to be other things where there's just more clarity in all of the different things that we're doing. But you may wonder, it's like, how does a church come up with a new vision? What does that process look like? Do we just like ascend up the mount? We pitch a tent and just wait for the glory cloud to descend upon us? That has worked fine for some people in the Bible. But one of the things that we did, this is a great question that came up. We have this on the screen. It says, in 5 years, if God blesses, our church will look like what? That was kind of our task to start thinking through, man, if God were to bless us and we were to accomplish certain things, what would those things be like? What would our church look like? What would we be doing? And so it was just a kind of a neat way. I wanted to bring you into that a little bit just to get you thinking. There were several times, and we're going to talk about these at different points, where we talk about, hey, what does it look like to be a Christian? What is a church supposed to do? That's kind of what we start out on this, is like, let's look at all the passages that talk about church and let's start pulling some things out of that. So this was really the question that came. This was the question that that I want to answer today. Before I just unveil this new vision, I want to look at a few driving convictions out of this passage in John that we read that will help you understand where we're going. And then I want to get in the vision and share some of that. But this, I want to go back to this passage that we just read in John. One of the things that I want to talk about, a driving conviction, is the centrality of Jesus Christ. The centrality of Jesus Christ. I hope as you hear our vision statement, some of you might be like, wow, that's awesome. Some of you might be like, yeah, that's kind of a biblical church vision statement, you know? Jesus is important, all right? You can quote me on that. Jesus is important. We want him to be important in all that we do. This passage, you just look at the uniqueness of who Jesus is. These verses, the opening of John, it echoes Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So John is connecting Jesus Christ with the creation of the world, claiming Jesus existed before creation. Jesus existed before anything else. Just an amazing passage. This is one of those passages, if you just work on memorizing it, and your view of God just becomes so much deeper, more profound. You're amazed at who he is. Jesus was in the beginning. Verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things came through him. All things are dependent on him. Whether they acknowledge it or not, all things are dependent on Jesus Christ. That's what this passage is saying. And so if that's the case, if all things depend on him, then how can we presume to build a church without him at the center of it, right? So this is one of the driving goals. We want Jesus to be at the center. We want him to be at the center of what we do. We want him to be at the center of our Sunday gatherings. We want to read his word. We want to know it. It kind of makes me think about first year of marriage. We got married, moved to Orlando. I'm going to seminary. Amanda's working in the corporate world. And I just remember this one day there were many days like this. She called me. She was having a hard time, and she's in the engineering office and just having a hard time. And we're talking through. I don't remember all that conversation, but I knew at some point it was like, well, hey, what can I do for you? And she's like, if you make dinner, that'd be fantastic. I was like, you got it. I was like, what do you want? And I don't know why she said this. It's not like it's one of her top favorites, but she just said, you know what? I just want tuna casserole tonight. I said, tuna casserole? Good. I got it. And we hang up the phone. And I start thinking, okay, I'm going to make tuna casserole. And I was like, wait a minute, my wife, my sweetheart, my love, she wants tuna casserole. I'm going to make her the greatest tuna casserole she has ever had. All right. So I go in there and I'm doing things I've never done before. You know, I'm cutting up mushrooms and onions and I'm sauteing those to go in, and you got the noodles going, and you know, I'm putting some vegetables because I know she likes vegetables, and I want all of this in there, and I get it together. I was like, oh man, I need one of those nice crusty tops to go on this, like a real casserole. It's got the yummy cheesy crusty top, you know. And so get out the cheese, get some breadcrumbs. I'm putting that on, I put it back in. I'm baking it for a little while. So she gets home and I'm just like, you know, she's going to come in and be impressed. She's going to be like, wow, this is amazing. And so we sit down, dish it up, and she takes a bite of it and just kind of, this is different. I'm like, it's all right. Just let her, you know, long day at work. Just let her try a little bit more of it. Just let her, you know, and she takes another bite of it. Doesn't taste like it normally does. Getting a little, guys, you ever been in this place? Like, what is going on with my wife? Like, something's wrong with her, but I'm just going to be patient. And then she takes another bite, and she's like, this is really different. Is there any tuna in this? Is there any tuna? Like, what are you talking about? It's tuna casserole. And then I took a bite. There's no tuna. In my excitement to impress my wife, I forgot the tuna in our tuna casserole. And I don't know what tuna casserole is without tuna, but it ain't tuna casserole, right? It's like a veggie medley or something. I don't know. It's not tuna casserole. And she made that clear. This is not tuna casserole. In my excitement to do all these different things, I left out the most essential ingredient. I left out the tuna in the tuna casserole. Well, as we do church, we want to make sure that we don't leave out the most important thing. The most important thing is Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, you miss everything. We want to make sure he's at the center of all that we do. He is of central importance. Second thing is just the necessity of Jesus. You see that in this passage. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. In him was light. Just think about what would happen if there was no light in the world. Life would just cease to exist. You know, if the sun went out, that's what warms the earth. That's what provides, that's what allows the plants to grow, right? The photosynthesis, and the plants grow, and then, you know, little things eat the plants, and then bigger things eat those things, and so on and so on. And the cows eat the grass, and we eat the cows. And if there is no light, all of life, it just ceases. What John is saying here is Jesus is the light of the world. He is the life. You know, without Jesus, we are like a cut flower. We may have a little bit of beauty to us, but it is fading and it is dying because we're not connected to the source of life. In Christ, we are connected to the source of life. In Christ, we're connected to the light of God. You don't have any of those without Jesus Christ. Without those things are severed. Without those, we are dying. Ephesians 2 says that we are dead in our sins. Without Jesus Christ, we are dead in our sins. We are separated from God. But in Jesus, we are made alive. In Jesus, we are made new. In Jesus, he changes us. He changes our hearts. He changes our minds. He's creating us anew. It's a new creation. Jesus is the light of the world. He gives us life, and that is true now, but also the ultimate life is eternal life, and that is found only in him. Apart from him, we are separated from all that. And that means that's not always popular news, but it is good news. And to understand Jesus, you know, Jesus said he spoke some glorious things. He also spoke some hard things. And you don't get the glorious things without understanding the hard things that he said. We want to make sure that we're pointing people to Jesus because it's only through him that we have salvation. Many people are wandering around in darkness. They're wandering around without any light in their lives. And we have the source of it all. It's in Jesus Christ. Third thing I want to talk about is the mission of Jesus. Verse 5, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Right there, we see there's going to be some obstacles. Right there, we see that there's going to be some opposition. There's opposition to what Jesus is doing. Jesus certainly faced opposition in his lifetime, didn't he? Crucified Messiah, there was opposition. People were opposed to what God was doing. But also speaks of the opportunity. His mission was to bring light into the darkness, and he did that. John describes the fact of the resurrection as the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So in Jesus, we know we're going to be victorious. In Jesus, we know that the darkness is not going to win. But we also see that Jesus, he came to give light, to give life. He came to share that with us. Jesus came to share light and life with his people. And he also calls his people to share that with others. Verse 7, this is speaking of John the Baptist. It says that he came as a witness, to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. So this is John testifying. John saying, "I'm not the light. Jesus is the light." That's what his mission was, and that's what Jesus gives to his people. We are to go out into a dark world and share the light of Christ with others. This is the Great Commission. Remember what Jesus gave to his disciples, Matthew 28:10. We have this on the screen. It says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is our mission as disciples, is to take that light and life of Jesus, to share it with others. That in the Great Commission, you see two things. You see that we're to make disciples, right? Go and baptize. Baptism, when you first believe, you're called to be baptized. It's a declaration that you have trusted in Christ, you're following him. But verse 20 there, it also says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. Anybody doing all that he commanded? We're all in process. We are all working on that. And so there's these two sides. We want to make disciples and we want to mature disciples. As we talked about our vision, this is one of the things that we kept coming back to. The Great Commission, and that, hey, we are called to make disciples. We need to reach people, but we also want to grow in maturity. We want to be growing in understanding theology, growing in knowing who Jesus is. And sometimes there's tension between those two things, but sometimes tension is healthy. Because when you eliminate one side of it, you fall into error. We want to make sure that both of those things are present. We see those two sides of the commission that he gives to his people. We want to help people understand how to make disciples. We want to help people to know how to honor Jesus in all that they do. This is discipleship. We're helping others know God's word, helping them know and live for him. One of the ways you can say that is that it is, we are teaching, we are raising up disciples. Raise up disciples. We want to raise up spiritual leaders. We want to empower people to do that. You know, with knowledge, there comes power. When you understand things, there's a power that comes with that. Was with one of my kids recently, and we were... Well, you know, no kid likes math, right? At least not in my family. Nobody likes math. And okay, my wife just raised her hand. Yes, my wife loves math. Other people don't like math. One of my sons does not like math, but we were talking with somebody recently and we started having to do fractions and count money and all that. And I was like, see, this is where all that math comes in handy. Because now, you know, when you can add and subtract and divide and, you know, I'm not sure where all the algebra stuff comes in handy. But when you know math, there's a power in that. When you know how to cut the grass, you've learned a skill that may not seem real fun right now, buddy, but now you can go out to our neighbors and cut their grass and you make money. You've learned a trade. There's power in that, right? When you understand who God is, there's a power that comes with that. When you understand what he's called you to do, when you get married and you're understanding God's plan for marriage and how spouses are to communicate and relate, and there's incredible power in that, isn't there? When you understand your purpose for what he created you to do, there is power in that. So one of the things that we want to do is we make disciples, as we raise people up, we want that to be a focus. We're empowering people, aren't we? We're empowering people to go out and be stewards of God's word, stewards of what he's called us to be and do. So those are three things, the centrality of Jesus, the necessity of Jesus, and the mission of Jesus. A little bit of a background for where we are going. So let me share our new mission statement. New mission. Can I get a drum roll? Should we do a little drum roll? Build the anticipation? All right, good. All right, let's see. Next slide. Okay, here's what we're doing, kind of where we are going as a church. Can we just read this together? We'll read it together. Ready? Empowering followers of Christ to experience the light and life of Jesus and to share it with a world that is hurting and longing for hope. Let me go and unpack this a little bit. You know, that first phrase, empowering followers of Christ. This is one of the things that we were praying about, talking about. It's like, we want to see people raised up. We want to raise up spiritual leaders. We want to be a place that people can come and be sharpened and know God more, know his word more. We want to leave people stronger and sharper, you know, filled with the Spirit of God. We want those things to happen in all of our meetings. We want those things to happen in our church services. We want to ignite and equip people. That's one of our goals. We want to come and be more, you know, we want to come into our meetings and leave being more excited about who Jesus is and feeling more competent to share that with others. There's an empowerment that goes on in that. We want to send out spiritual leaders. We want to send out more small group leaders. We want to raise up people who are leading in their own families, leading in their offices, leading in those different contexts. And so if you long to make a difference in the world, we want you to come in and feel like, man, this is a place that I can be. This is a place that I'm being sharpened and I'm being equipped and I'm being built into. Kind of like your phone. When your phone dies, you plug it into the charger, right? We want to be a spiritual community where when you're feeling low, it's interesting. I so often talk to people, they're low, and they're like, I'm feeling low. I don't want to go to church. I'm like, that's why you need to go to church. Go to church. Let's just change that narrative, right? When you're feeling low, feeling like you shouldn't be at church, go to church. We want to be a place that you are being charged up. We want to be a place, you know, as you come in, think about how are you charging others? We want to equip and send out people to do the work of ministry. As people come in tired, burned out, we want to be reminded we have a greater purpose in the world than just making money. There's a greater purpose than just a vacation. And making money, vacations are great, right? But there's something better. Those will never fulfill you. What fulfills you is a walk with the Lord. So we want to empower. We want to start thinking about all of our ministries is how can we empower people? How can we build into people? How can we raise up leaders? Second thing I want to look at is light and life. We want to share this, the light and life. This is important. Jesus didn't come to make people religious, did he? He came that we would have life and have life to the full. That's what he said. To renew hearts and minds, this is Ezekiel 36. That's what the coming of the Messiah, people were going to be changed from the inside out. As you think about light, light has an element of truth, doesn't it? Light in scripture. God's word is a light unto my feet. It's a light into our path, right? There's a revelation. God's word is truth. This is one of the things as we talked about. We're like, you know, we really want to make sure that as a church, we are standing on the word of God. We want to make sure that as a church, we are communicating God's revelation. We want to share his word with other people. That's why when you come in on Sundays, we're going to read the word. You're going to hear it, and then you're going to hear a message that explains what we just read. We just have that conviction that, you know, we've got to have God's word center of what we do. If we want to have Jesus at the center, you have his word at the center. So we want to make sure that we are communicating the light of his word, his light, his word. It brings clarity. It brings truth. It brings direction to a confused world. Before I was a Christian, I had so much confusion on who am I created to be? What is my purpose in life? I couldn't answer those. What is marriage? Why would you want to get married? What is a husband called to do? As I started to understand God's word, I started to get answers to all those different questions. It's powerful. It's powerful to know God's word. We want to make sure that we're doing that. But as you think about light, there's also a warmth that comes to that, isn't there? There's a warmth. There's a heat that comes. As we think about what our purpose in the world is to share truth, but we also want to share it with love, right? So you think about the light and love of Jesus, light is a reflection of who he is. We want to love people. We want to bring people into that. Love this quote by C.S. Lewis, talking about just the importance of God's light, God's love. He said, C.S. Lewis said, I believe in God as I believe in the sun, not just because I see it, but by it, I see everything else, right? And it's just an amazing way to understand it. It's, yeah, I believe in the word of God, not just because I believe in God, not just because I see him, but it's because by that, I see everything else. I understand how life works. I understand that there's going to be challenges. There's going to be hardships. I don't wilt when somebody says something negative about me. I'm trying to bring my whole life under the authority of God's word. And there's so much direction and encouragement that comes from that. So we want to share light. We want to share life. You know, one of the things that we talked about as we share life, we want to share the light and life of Jesus. We want to experience that and we want to share it with others. One of the things that we were talking about is just life being, you know, following Jesus, it's not just showing up for an hour on a Sunday morning, right? Inviting people into that. It's not just, hey, I did a drive-by evangelism, you know, shared the gospel and moved on. Hey, there's times for that. That's great. But it's also, Jesus told his disciples, come and follow me. And we are inviting people into a life of following Jesus. We want to be a church and a community that people can come in and they can hear truth, but they can also hear that, hey, come and follow me. Hey, come be a part of this. Come to my small group. Come to this. Well, we are sharing our very lives. Paul said, we didn't just come and share the gospel, but we shared our very lives. We want to tell people about that and invite them into it. We also see this experience and share. You know, we want to share the gospel with others. right? We want to share the gospel. Amen. We want others to know Jesus. We want them to know him as their Savior. And so we want to share that. This is one of the things we went back and forth on as we worked on this vision statement, because we were like, man, we want to be sharing the gospel, and we really feel we need to push that. That's an area where we're not strong. That's an area where it's in America, it's kind of easy to let's just be quiet. Let's be comfortable and not get out. And that's kind of human nature. So we're like, hey, we need to push ourselves on that. But it's also, we were talking, it's like, well, if we're not experiencing something, how can we share that with others? And coming to this place where it's like, you know what? We want to experience the light and love of Jesus. We want to be a place that as people come in, they're experiencing that. They're hearing his word, but man, isn't it great? Like you come to church and someone shakes hands with you. Someone gives you a hug. Someone knows your name. These are some of the things that we feel just make the words that we share compelling. What makes our words compelling is when they see the life that we're living, that there's a sincerity behind that, that there's a genuine love, that there's a genuine care for other people. So we want to share that light and love of Jesus. We also want to experience it. We want to be experiencing in our Sunday gatherings, experiencing in our relationships and small groups and all the other contexts. We want to make sure that we are living on mission purposely and bringing God's truth and love and power to others. We want to do all that. We want to experience it, and we want to share it with others. Next thing I want to talk about is the hurting and the searching for hope. As we think about what are we driving to do? One of the things we want to drive to do is we want to drive towards mission. And as we look at our culture, we see a lot of people that are hurting and searching for hope, right? Maybe a lot of people that you know that they're hurting. Maybe they're hopeless. This is one of the things that we talked about, that it's like, man, we want to make sure we are moving towards those who need Christ. And how do we, and so as we think about, you know, the discipleship that we have here, well, let's try and, we want to empower people to share God's word and move towards those who are hurting, those who may feel hopeless. You know, as we think about our culture, one of the things that just, I heard this a few years ago, and it's just something that has stuck with me. And you may hear this in other contexts. A lot of times sociologists will talk about the disparity between the haves and the have-nots. Everybody heard that? Hear that in different contexts. Maybe it's education. Maybe it's socioeconomic. But I think it's also true spiritually. The difference between the haves and the have-nots. Those who come into church and they start getting into discipleship and growing, and it's fantastic, right? But it's so easy. You start growing, and as you start growing and knowing more things, sometimes it can get harder and harder to go to those that, well, they just don't know a whole lot. Well, hey, I asked him to read his Bible, and he didn't do it. Oh, man, this guy, he's kind of a mess. And we can start to feel a greater and greater gap between those. One of the things that we want to do as a church is as we grow in maturity, part of growing in maturity is we grow in more compassion for others. We grow in a love for the lost, where there is this inward compulsion, not doing it because I have to, but I want to share the love of Christ with others. When I see people that are broken, I don't just want to point my finger and laugh. I don't just point my finger and put them down. No, I want to move towards them. And as we think about that, that's what our society needs, you know, because when people are hurting, a lot of times they think about going to a counselor, and typically a secular counselor. They're not going to hear truth in that. I talk to so many people that it's like, man, I went to counseling and I just rehearsed things, but I never really got help. It's because you're not looking to Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the one that you need. We want to be a place that is pointing people to that. But normally in the community, when in secular society, when people are hurting, they don't think about going to church, do they? They think about going to a counselor, that maybe they think about going to a bar. They think about all these other things, maybe vacation or whatever. Let me just get away. And you're just masking the solution rather than being there. You're masking the problem rather than getting the solution. We want to be people who are going there, that we're ministering to the people that are around us. We all, I'm sure we can be honest, there are some of our closest people are the ones we most want to know Jesus. We want to be equipping people to move towards the hurting and searching for hope. And as we think about moving towards those who are hurting and searching for hope, that often describes us, doesn't it? Anybody had a day or week or whatever recently where you just, man, you feel hopeless. You need help. Man, we want to be there for one another. And as we are there to, as we're honest about the things that we are going through and Jesus is meeting us and Jesus is using others in our church, we're going to be more equipped to go out and minister to the people in the community that are hurting and hopeless. You know, we want to be a hospital and we want to be practicing our trade, right? So as people come in, we're helping one another. We're loving on them. We're speaking truth. We're cooking dinner for them. You know, we are a community of people that is seeking to make Jesus known in every part of life. And so this is our vision. This is what we're working with. This is where we are moving from. I hope that as you see this, you see, hey, this isn't just Keith's mission. Or this isn't just so-and-so's. I hope that as you see it, it's like this is articulating the Great Commission. This is articulating some of the essential things that Jesus called his people to do. And so we want to move towards these. And I want to give you a couple things that if you're looking to call Radiant your church home, if you're wanting to make this your church family, I want to give you a couple things that you can do to help push our vision forward. Before we do that, let me just, part of my goal as we share this vision, you know, I'm sharing it today. I'm not going to do like a hard sell at any point today. Mark will do that next. No, I'm just kidding. What our goal is we want to bring you into what we believe God is calling us to do. We want to bring you into the process. We want to start clarifying some things and help you see how this is really going to, the rubber's going to hit the road in different ways. And we want to give you ways that you can say, hey, I want to go all in on this. And know that's a process. We want to work up to that. But that is one of the goals. And one of the things I want to do today is give you a couple ways that you can do that. Before we do that, I want to, C.S. Lewis had a great quote. We live in a time where it's very easy to critique things without offering help, right? You ever feel that? Maybe you're in the office and everybody's bringing you all this critique and you're like, hey, I just need some help. You guys help me, I could do that, but nobody's helping. We don't just want to bring critique, we want to jump in. And one of the things in church, we live in a time where it's very easy to critique church. Oh, that church is to this or to that. And you just never commit to a church at all, right? That is probably the dominant culture in our society today. Everybody loves the idea of church, but just not willing to commit. Well, Jesus calls you to commit to a body. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body and its parts, okay? A body, if it doesn't have the arm and hand and leg and all that, it can't do the things that a body needs to do. Churches are the same way. It needs people. It needs members to be a part of it that you can depend on, that are committed, that are all those things. C.S. Lewis has a great quote on this. He spoke about a gluttonous woman whose sin was not in the excess of food she eats, but in the delicacy of her taste. Listen to this. This talks about this lady. She says, all she wants is a cup of tea properly made, or an egg properly boiled, or a slice of bread properly toasted. But she can never find any servant or any friend who can do these simple things properly, because her properly conceals an insatiable demand for the exact and almost palatial pleasures which she remembers from the past, a past described by her as the days when you could get good servants, but known to us as the day when her senses were more easily pleased, when she had pleasures of other kinds which made her less dependent on those of the table. Isn't that interesting? He's talking about this lady who's just, her gluttony is not in the excess, but it's just in the quality. Everything needs to be better and better, and nothing is good enough for her, right? I want to make sure that we're not people like that. I want to make sure that we're not Christians like that, where, hey, you know, man, if I could just find a church with a proper pastor, man, then I'd join. If I could find a guy that would give a proper message, man, then I'd join. Or come on, how about a proper set of songs to sing? Then I would really lift my hands and sing with my whole heart. I just need a proper fill in the blank. You know, Jesus calls us to lay down our lives. And an imperfect church is a great opportunity for you to find ways to lay down your life for others, isn't it? Those times when you don't see eye to eye with people, those times where you're just like, hey, you know, I would have preferred this song, but we did that song. It's okay. It's opportunities to deny ourselves for the mission, for making Jesus known, for bringing others into his light and life. So I want to give you a couple things that you can do, and these are meant to be kind of easy things. Get us going in this. First thing, help people experience. If we talk about being a place to experience the light and life of Jesus, well, we want to come into a place where we are experiencing that, where they are experiencing that, so you can help with this. Create ways that people will experience the love and light of Jesus. Get to know people. Share God's word with people. Pray for people. As you get to know them, you find out, oh, you've got this going on. Hey, I'm going to pray for you. Maybe you text them. Share God's word. When they come in on Sunday, hey, man, great to see you. Maybe sometimes you tell them you're praying for them. Sometimes you just want to give them a hug and just say, hey, I love you. I care about you. We're trying to create a community that we really know one another. We're trying to create relationships that are focused on God's word. You can help create these things. We need everybody playing a part in this. Ministry happens in the context of relationships. If you don't know anybody, you can't minister to them, right? Just starts out right there. If God's putting somebody on your heart to minister to, just get to know them. Maybe you start out with lunch. Maybe you start with, how you doing? Get to know them. But we want to be a church that is creating these things where you come in on Sunday and you feel that care. You hear God's word. And there's a group of people that are embodying what we're teaching and what we're trying to do. We need everybody. Ephesians 4 talks about the church is built up and equipped as each member does its part. We need everybody pushing towards this, everybody working towards that. We're trying to create this kind of environment. We want to work. Yes, church and work, they go together. Work, putting time in, putting effort in. Church is about relationships. Maybe it's investing in relationships. Church is expensive, all right? It costs money to have a building and to do ministry. Pray about how you can give towards financing the mission of the church. You know, one of the things, our goal here is just, we want to be faithful believers. God calls us to give. God calls us to tithe. We just want to be, if we're a group of people being faithful with those things, it's going to have a tremendous effect in many different ways. So find ways that you can help build this culture, build where people are experiencing the presence of God. People are experiencing the word of God. People are experiencing real brotherly, sisterly love. We're a family of Christ. We want them to feel that family. Second thing that you can do is to seek to be empowered. You want to be used by God? You want to honor him? Well, seek ways to be filled up. Seek ways to be empowered. We want to see God's kingdom come in power, don't we? We want to see it come in the world. And it just takes us saying, you know what? I need to get plugged in. I need to recharge. Every night, I plug in my phone. Every day, you need to reconnect with the Lord. You need to find ways that you are being empowered. This is one of the things that as a church, man, I love it. Just heard several people recently. It's like, hey, you know, I want to reach my neighbors. I want to find ways to do that. You know, is there anything that, you know, could we start doing? Yeah, absolutely. And I love hearing those questions. People that want to lead others in a Bible study, lead a small group. We're going to grow as a church as everybody takes a step. That's one of the things that we've talked about. We need to find a way that we can get everybody taking their next step. If we all grow a little bit, the whole church grows, right? So we just want to encourage you, you know, to hunger and thirst for the Lord, to hunger and thirst for knowing him more, growing more in your walk with him. When you do this, it's going to push us forward. It's going to further us in our mission. The third thing is to embrace the mission. We are on a mission. We're not just here to entertain ourselves. We're not just here to amuse ourselves. We are on a mission. We want to reach people. We want to see our society transformed by the love of Christ, by the light and love of Jesus. We want to see that happen. And so we want to find ways to embrace that mission. How can we live missionally? How can we reach others? This is one of the things we've talked about over the years, you know, being with Terry, he even talked about this. He said, you know what? The only way you build a church today is you reach the lost by bringing people in. That's how church, we have a less and less Christian society. Growing churches are reaching people. Growing churches are bringing people in. We want to do this. We want to find ways to do this. One of the things that we've talked about is, you know, launching Bible studies or even just growing and sharing with others, sharing our own stories, sharing testimonies. We've talked about, we're going to get more in some pathways that we have to grow in discipleship. One of these is just thinking about how we engage the culture at large. How do we share our testimony? We've had people come up and share their testimonies on Sundays, and those are always a highlight, right? Anybody like when we have a testimony? It's always great to hear how God has worked in somebody else's life. Well, we don't need to wait till for a special Sunday. You can be doing that every day. You can be sharing with others. You can be encouraging your small group and talking about what God is doing in your life. But we want to find ways to be pushing each other, to be furthering the mission that God has given us, to see us reaching others, but also just growing more and more in our knowledge of Jesus, growing more and more strong in knowing who he is and what he's done. So this is our vision statement. Can we just jump back to that vision statement one more time on the slide? Go back to the beginning where we have it. Can we just say it together? We did this, I think John's idea. We shared with a few people and we're like, hey, let's all just read it together. I want to read through it so you know it. I want you to be praying about it. And, you know, we want the Lord to use this process to continue to drive us towards this. And there may be some things that we refine. There may be some things that as we share in upcoming weeks, it's going to start to fill this out. Because this is what, you know, based on this, we're going to start thinking about ministries and how do these ministries line up and help us to achieve this. So one more time, let's just read it. Empowering followers of Christ to experience the light and life of Jesus and to share it with the world that is hurting and longing for hope. So that's it. Won't take questions right now, but I want to wrap up in prayer. And, you know, I want this to be a season where, you know, we want to share this. We want to continue to pray about it and really start thinking about how can we move forward with this? If this is what God is calling us to do, what does it look like? Because what we ultimately want to see is we want to see God's kingdom come in power, right? We want to see others coming to know Jesus Christ. We want to see those who know Jesus growing strong in their faith and being in a strong community that is continuing to build up and change culture. We want to pray for that. We want to see God's kingdom come. And we want to, you know, we get one shot. We get one life. We've got one life to live, right? Are we going to go all in on God's word? Are we going to go all in on what he calls us to do? Are we going to get sidetracked by secondary things that are really just a work of the enemy? There's all kinds of distractions. We have a more distracted society than ever. Are we going to be laser focused on living for the Lord and honoring him and helping others to know what he's done and what he's done for them? So this is an opportunity for us as a church. One of the things that I'm praying about as we go through this is that it would crystallize some things, it would clarify some things, and also praying that, you know, when you get clarity and you get crystal clear on certain things, it can bring more unity and it can begin to catalyze other things. We've had some different elements that have been good in the church. But when we really get those in sync and working together, that's when I think there can be a greater power, a greater, you know, it's hard when you're putting a lot of effort in and you're getting very little result, right? But when you start clarifying and you start getting in sync with others, all of a sudden your little bit of effort really goes a long way. And that's one of the things that I'm praying would happen in our church. I'm praying that God would do a real move of his spirit to solidify certain things and to catalyze certain things. And so that's something that I just invite you to be praying for in this season and to be praying for the Holy Spirit to do a work in our midst, to do a work in our church. We want to see that happen. And I want you to be praying for that. And I also want you to be praying and just everybody praying. What does it look like for me to go into this season and just being open to how God may work? Maybe he's going to call me to do something new. Maybe he's going to call me to do something that I said I would never do. I've said that before. I will never do such and such. And then I end up in that place doing it and love it because it's where God has me. But we need to be in a season of change. We're changing things as a church, and we need to be people that are open to doing something different, maybe doing it in a different way, maybe doing it with different people. I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but I just want to get us ready to just say, God, have your way. Send me. Remember Isaiah, he encountered the Lord and he just said, God, send me. We want to have that attitude. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the mission that you've given to us. Thank you that we have a sense of purpose that goes beyond just food and clothing and cars and money. You've called us into a relationship with yourself. You've shown us your grace, your love that just blows us away, and then you call us to share that with others. And God, I pray that we would be motivated by the love that you have shown to us, that we were in darkness and you came towards us. And we want to do the same thing. We want to honor you and follow you. And I just pray for us and our church in this season, Lord, I just pray that that as we contemplate this new vision, some of it's similar, some of it's different, some of it's clarifying, but God, we want to pray that we'd have our hands wide open. We want to pray that you would speak to us, and we want to pray that we would have the courage to follow you in those things. And so we just pray for you to do that now. We ask for you to have your way in us. We just declare following you is the most important thing, and we don't want anything else to get in the way of that. We love you. We praise you. I pray for our church that we would see things that we're doing becoming stronger and stronger. I pray that our voice in the community would be louder and louder. We pray that it would be more and more compelling, and we pray that we would see more and more people come to know you as Lord and come to be discipled and loved on and brought to maturity. We want to see that happen in this place. God, we pray that you'd build your kingdom, that you'd build it now. We want to make the most of the opportunity that you have given to us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. We're going to sing one last song. This is just a way to respond to what God is doing and to pray for him to build his kingdom. Amen. Amen.